451.
If anyone could personify the term man in full, it was Joe Allbritton. He led the region's largest bank. He was active on the D.C. social circuit, and he started a large media company, which included Channel 7 and Politico. Joe Allbritton has died at the age of 87.
Here to talk about him, Washington Post senior editor Mark Fisher. Hiya, Mark.
Hi, Hillary.
Joe Allbritton was really an extraordinary figure in Washington who came from pretty humble roots.
Yeah, he was born in Mississippi in a timber town, and his father had a sandwich shop. But he became a kind of a speculator. He started investing in Texas real estate, and then moved up into buying and selling banks. And that he came to Washington with a bunch of other Texans around the time of the Johnson administration, and was here. Began really as a broadcast and newsman on the ownership side, as the owner of the Washington Star back in the 1970s. And then he had to give up the Washington Star because he had bought Channel 7, and there was a federal ruling back in the 70s that you couldn't own a TV station and a newspaper in the same city. So he sold the Washington Star, focused on Channel 7, and then bought Riggs Bank in the early 80s, and that's where his, although his monetary fortunes continued to do well, his overall fortunes took a tumble because of the many troubles that Riggs Bank had under his leadership.
And in a trouble in particular concerning Riggs Bank's dealings with the Chilean dictator in the 90s. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Augusto Pinochet, a very totalitarian dictator of Chile, was one of a number of foreign leaders who invested with Riggs Bank, and Joseph Allbritton personally courted Pinochet and these other leaders, and then Riggs hid their accounts and transactions, and there was a federal investigation that actually followed on the 9/11 attacks. So they were kind of looking for some of these money laundering and foreign corruption signs, and found it at Riggs Bank. And the government concluded that Riggs had gone about hiding money for these foreign leaders. They fined Riggs Bank $25 million, and Joseph Allbritton was forced to sell the bank, which he did to PNC in 2004. So he made a lot of money through Riggs. He made a lot of money through his broadcast and print operations, but the end of Riggs, which was, you know, used to call itself the most important bank in the most important city in the world, and it ended up being the end of that local bank, and we have yet another national chain that has come in and replaced it.
But he was a guy who had friends in important places, and he happened to be at the royal wedding earlier this year.
Well, yes, he was a definitely prominent in the social world. He was a big art collector and gave lots of money to local scholarships, helped George Mason University buy land for its law school. He was a trustee at the Kennedy Center, so very involved in philanthropy in the Washington area. In the end, he lived back in Texas, but he still had homes here in Washington and in the horse country in Northern Virginia.
Mark, quickly, if you could write Joe Allbritton's epitaph, how would you write it?
Well, a mixed bag. Here's a guy who really wanted a lot of influence, got it through these various holdings, but really he brought one of the great institutions of Washington, Riggs Bank, into disrepute through some tactics that were really the wrong focus. Instead of focusing on the Washington suburbs, which were growing enormously, he focused the bank on foreign governments, which turned out to be its downfall.
All right. Washington Post senior editor Mark Fisher. Thanks a lot, Mark.
Anytime.